Let's take up our Bibles now and turn to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 6, where we'll take up the first four verses as our text tonight. And so we hear that call to us as children and also as fathers, certainly by extension to mothers, that as we understand the authority listed for us in the Scriptures, that we are called to something that is right together. Hear now the word of the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Thus far, the reading of God's Word. We also turn in the back pages of the Trinity Psalter to Lord's Day 39. As we hear God's will for us now in the fifth commandment. Lord's Day 39, page 891, the question on the bottom left-hand side of the page, what is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? That I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. Submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline, and also that I be patient with their failings, for by their hand God wills to rule us. Thus far, our confession. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, you bring us before a heavy subject, and Lord, certainly all of it is in your law. And yet, Father, this word that we speak to our children and to our parents tonight affects all of us, no matter our age, no matter our place, whether we have children or home or not. Father, you call us to an ordering, to a responsibility that is great. And so, Father, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our spirit would be pleasing before you, that you would work in our hearts that which needs to be worked, and, Father, that you would send us forth in faithfulness by way of your word and spirit. And we ask all these things in your Son's name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Children of God called to be saints, can you believe how that girl just spoke to her mom? Did you see the fit that that boy had when his dad said it was time to go? We've all heard and seen these kinds of interactions, perhaps far too often, maybe. And what should shock us is that more and more, it seems, parents don't do anything about it. But even more shocking is the fact that such scenarios play out in Christian homes between Christian parents and covenant children. And of course, we know that our children are sinners, that they will act out, that they will say things that they ought not to say, that they will do things that they ought not to do. But when they are held to no standards, when they're not corrected, because we don't want to be the rules dad or the strict mom, why would we expect them to act honorably in obedience ever? Your children have met your standards because you have none. It's a problem. No discipline is taking place. No nurture and love. No reminder of the truth and call of God's word. And it's sad. This is how people choose to live their lives. It's sad because if those children are reacting in that way to their parents in public, you can guarantee that's how they're interacting with their parents back at home. Love is not being shown to those parents or to those children in a home that dismisses the teaching of the Word of God. That's ultimately what it is. The testimony being given by both of them is, in fact, the very dismissing of the call of God's Word. And so in our parenting, in our obedience as children, in our desiring to honor the Lord and all in authority over us, we need to give ourselves afresh and anew to the truth. Because as you consider the commandments, it certainly matters who we worship. It matters how we worship. It matters how we use God's name. It matters how we use his day. And yet all of these commands primarily are directing us to the way that we are to love and submit to our triune God. So that in submission to him and the desire to love our families and our churches and our neighbors, it also matters how we submit to his authority, how we obey his authority in every way, including in the interactions of our families. It matters how we live that out in obedience and how we teach such obedience to the next generation. It matters because as parents and as children, we need to be led to the call and to the example, and to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, so that we would be committed not only to walking as he walked, but giving witness to the same as obedient children. Those who honor him, those who honor our parents, those who submit to all those and obey all those in authority over us, but also in the way we parent honorably. As those insisting upon obedience, because that's what the Lord calls us to. And as those who drive our children and ourselves to the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ in the correction and in the discipline we're called to bring. In our family interactions, in those that may be broken, in those that are blessed, we need to be committed to the gospel of our Savior and to giving witness in all of those interactions of our dependence upon him. And so we see tonight in the fifth commandment that the Lord desires and requires that in giving witness of a love for Christ, we give honor to parents and teach honor to children. And it's a commandment brought before us again in these words of Paul in Ephesians 6 that speak to us as children in those first three verses and as parents in verse 4, the Lord desires and requires that in giving witness of a love for Christ, we give honor to parents and we teach honor to children. And so it starts with you, children and young people. In fact, something really awesome that doesn't happen in a lot of other places in the scripture, something awesome happens here in this part of Paul's letter. He addresses each of you directly. That happens in the law too, although really for all of us who come before the law, we are all the children of someone, no matter our age. But Paul's command in this line of laying out the responsibilities to those in authority is for you to listen and obey. Look again at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You see, those children were there too as this letter was being read in the churches. The children were there to hear his commands, and they were old enough to obey them. It's a reminder of the need for our children to be present as we worship. That covenant responsibility for them to be here and not to send them off somewhere else. The proclamation of the gospel and the truth of God's word is for them too. And we as parents have a responsibility to make that word known to them and to help them apply it to their lives. They, as well as we, are to listen and obey. But notice, children, that word. Especially for you younger people or young adults, the word there is not submit. You'll see that in some of Paul's other instructions. Submit to governing authorities. Wives, submit to your husbands. That word is used there, but not here. You are not called to submit to your parents because that word speaks of equals in a proper ordering of relationship, of which one submits themselves in order to advance the relationship. That choice is not being offered to you. That choice has never been offered to you. You are not your parents' peers. No matter how old you get, that will not be the case. And so, children, you are called to obey, to instantly comply with all things good and proper and lawful. That is your calling in the Lord. That one thing, children, obey your parents in the Lord, your covenant children, who are to give witness to that in the way that you obey. And the very opposite then would be stubbornness and rebellious obstinance. That girl who talks to her mom that way, that boy who pitches the fit in the way that we talked about at the beginning. This must not be your witness. In fact, Deuteronomy 21, verse 18 gives a picture of that opposite witness. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son, hear it, who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen. How you listen has a lot to do with obedience. And we would think, Christian folks in the church, that our children would get that and know that. How will they know that if you don't speak it to them or insist on it? How will they know that if you are not continually laying this command and demand before them? Obedience is always the expectation. Why? For this is right. That's the motivation. That's it. That is the only answer. Children, this is the only way. And it is the only motivation you should need. Why do you obey your parents? We love that question, right? Sometimes our kids get into that window. Why? Why do I have to listen to you? Because it's right. I hope your parents say more than that, but not less than that. This should be your witness to others. I will listen to my parents and teachers and anyone in authority over me and obey them because it's the right thing to do. And Paul adds this then in the sister letter in Colossians 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And when you think about it, when you respond to your parents in that way, there's always blessing. There's always sweetness. There's always thanksgiving. There's always blessing when it is a pleasurable experience for you and for your parents. But it's also a sweet witness to the Lord and to the world of your love for Him. And so this word urges you, children, to heed the fifth commandment. Verse 2, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. And the word honor here means more than love. Sometimes I hear that spoken, and certainly it's not less than that, but that isn't what's being witnessed to here. That word in the Hebrew means heavy or weighty. And so it means that you must always treat your relationship to your parents as weighty and important. That it is heavy. That you must consider any action towards your parents, any word spoken, as heavy and significant. And when we start to think about obedience in that way, children, much is at stake every time you are called by your parents to obey. Much can be gained or lost in terms of your interaction and relationship with them, but also in your witness to Christ. You can't say, I love Jesus, but I'm going to disobey my parents whenever I have opportunity. Those two things don't match up. You see, as a covenant child, the name of Christ has been placed upon you. That name claims you. And that shouldn't just be something that you reference back to when you were a baby, but people should be able to see that in your relationship to your parents, in your responses to their love and to their authority over you. And so in Christ, children and young people, I want you to understand your responsibility to your parents in love and obedience to Christ. And also then understand the cost of honoring your parents, or the call of honoring your parents, even in their old age, no matter their age. Because here's the thing, you're not going to figure that out later. Children who dishonor their parents and are rebellious to their parents outside of the grace and working of Christ aren't just going to wake up someday in their 40s or 50s or 60s and say, you know what, I should really honor mom and dad. I should really take time for them. I should really heed them. I should really show them respect and dignity. It's not going to happen. You see, it needs to start when you're young. That needs to be nurtured in you. In fact, it needs to be demanded, so it will be a sweet blessing when you children grow old yourselves. And that's a blessing that for me, as a pastor here in this church, I have lots of interactions with those who are older in our church. And I have the blessing of being able to see when some of our saints get to that age where they need to be cared for, that their children are the ones who take primary responsibility for that. It's a great blessing. It's a great exercise of the fifth commandment. Even this past week, I sat with Ken Quaker for a while, and he openly wept talking about how awesome his kids are to him. Where I asked, does our church need to come around you and help? He's like, no, my children take care of it. What a blessing. And there are several families of which we as a church would love to help, and we're good. It's because they've been trained to honor their folks. You see, that testimony shouldn't be rare, but increasingly it is. It should be the norm among the children of God. It is that way that he promises to bless. And so that fifth commandment promise is what? Verse 3, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. It comes with a blessing of prosperity. And you're like, oh, if I take care of my parents, I'm going to be rich. Probably not. That isn't what it's about. But it's really the blessing that comes of being able to submit to authorities and to obey those over you. It's going to lead you in your life to advancement and blessing in almost every area of life. And it may even come with it the blessing of a long life. And you're like, well, what does that mean? Because the Lord knows the days he has for us. Well, right. But if you will not heed the authority of your parents, you're probably not going to heed the authority of others. You will gravitate towards those who have the same hatred and disdain for authority. And in hanging out with those kinds of people, you place your life in jeopardy. And so what you children are called to tonight is to give yourself in obedience to the commands of Christ, in thanks for the life he has provided you, and to your parents in the blessing that they are to you. And even when your parents are not being amazing, and if you were to say that to me after the service, I wouldn't believe you. I know the parents in this church. I'm thankful for their service to you and their care for you. But in those moments where they are not as awesome as they always are, you have an opportunity to live a life respecting Christ. That you can bear in the way you honor them, you can bear with their weaknesses. You can be a blessing to them. And more, you will give witness powerfully of respect and honor in being obedient first time and right away. And so children, maybe this all seems heavy. You're commanded to show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. Submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline. But did you hear that last sentence? And also that I be patient with their failings. For by their hand, God wills to rule us. That in those moments, you have an opportunity to show them the example of Christ. You're a sinner, and so are your parents. But then think about your Savior, right? Because he was perfect, and Mary and Joseph weren't. But he gave himself to obeying his parents, those who weren't always awesome, and those who didn't always get it right. Luke 2, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. He obeyed them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. That is that witness for you. He obeyed. And he calls you to the same standard by way of his law and gospel. But you can only do that in the promised blessing of Christ. You see, obedience, true obedience, is a blessing of a life changed by his word and Holy Spirit. And yet the way of blessing in the grace of Christ is honor and obedience. And so, children, I want to urge you to it. I can't say it enough, and it's not just because I have six kids of my own, that honor and obedience are important. Ever so much more important to your witness today. But I want to urge you to claim the name and live for the name that's been placed upon you by faith. Embrace the sure promises of Christ. Believe and know life in him. And maybe if you're getting a little bit older and you haven't been living that life of honor or obedience, whether you're 14 or 44 or 64, there's time to repent. There's time to mend those relationships. And so be thankful for your parents' role and authority. And if you're seeking to live that life of honor and obedience, thank the Lord for the parents that you've been given. Parents who insist on honor and obedience and who give witness to your love and thanks in Christ for them. And so this commandment has a lot to say to you, children, and we pray for you in that way that you would take that up. But it has no less to say to us as parents. And that's some of the disconnect that we have in the fifth commandment. But yet the fifth commandment brings with it a great responsibility. We are called to teach our children the way of the Lord, to insist upon his standard as we continually bring them to and before the truth of the Word of God and before their need for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He needs to work in their hearts and lives by his Spirit. That needs to keep being brought, no matter our age. But we don't always parent that way. We don't always parent in a way that honors that authority over us, that honors our Father in heaven. We're not always concerned for that work of parents that we're called to in the ways that we should. We don't always want to be consistent in nurture and correction. We slough off some of that responsibility to the community or to other teachers. That for some of you, maybe your hearts are crying out, I just want my children to like me. I want to be their friend. I don't want to be the bad guy. I don't want confrontation. We want parenting to be easy and for our children to just figure out what obedience and honor are all about. And if this description that I've just spoken fits you in any way, if it fits where you're finding yourself at this moment, I can guarantee you that your children will not like you, and they certainly will not honor you. They don't need more friends, they need a parent. They don't need another buddy, they need a mom, they need a dad. And that is your calling in Christ Jesus. In fact, if that is the way that you're living and setting them up, you are provoking them to do and be the opposite of what they're commanded to be. Verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. And it's interesting here that the word is not parents. The word is fathers. And that should hit us all as dads right in the breadbasket tonight. It is directly addressed to you. Why? Because fathers, we have to lead. You are called in your role and responsibility to lead. we have responsibility for the nurture and teaching of our children. Don't rely on your wife or someone else to do your work. That's your call. We have to share and teach our faith and convictions to our children. We have the responsibility in the economy of our families for training, education, and discipline. That's us. Oh, look at the world, Pastor. Look at all those kids. Look at the authority and respect and honor they aren't learning. That's on us. That's our call. And yet when we take that responsibility up, in those moments where we've been a little bit pricked and convicted, what are we usually in a rush to do? We're not usually geared toward discipleship and nurture. You see, the Lord speaks this word to us as fathers because it's so easy for us to speak and act in ways that elevate our desires and our kingdoms. In ways that are overly controlling, manipulative, or heavy-handed, demanding something far different than obedience and honor, because we quickly make demands that are ours instead of the Lord's. And because we can be quick to say and do things that anger and embitter our children. You want your children to understand the honor and heaviness of their relationship to you? Fathers, we need to weep that we have not always thought in the same way of our interactions with them. It's why Paul adds in Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." That's a hard word, right? That fathers, we are all guilty from time to time of angering and discouraging our children. I speak to you out of my own brokenness, that we all find ourselves there, that we have to do a better job of considering the impact of our words and our actions. And as fathers, we have to start taking concern and consideration of terms like love and care and nurture and sensitivity, and encouragement. We have to stop reacting. We have to stop flying off the handle. And we have to stop expecting that when we do so, our children will be warm and understanding every time we come in repentance. You see, the fifth commandment is a call to father honorably, to be faithful in our teaching and discipline, and that is a great duty. It's a great responsibility. And yes, it is one that we share with our helpers, with our wives. And so that calling then to take this up is ours together in the two ways that are listed in our text, that which this commandment then is demanding of us. First, bring them up in the discipline of the Lord. G.I. Williamson writes in his commentary that our children need, quote, consistent praise and consistent correction. That word consistent is key. We have to consistently bring the boundaries of the Word of God to bear in their lives. We have to insist on them in an unwavering way. I don't care how tired you are. I don't care how frustrated you are. I don't care how much they haven't listened to you in the past. You have to show up and be consistent. And more, you have to insist on obedience. It's what the Lord requires of your children. And they depend on you. And we can talk fathers and mothers here. Depend on us to show them that way in our correction. When your children are doing that which they have been told not to do, they need you to consistently show up. You need to remind your children, delayed obedience is disobedience. That no Christian parent should have to sit there saying, okay, now Johnny, I'm not using Johnny's name because he's going to totally freak out here. I've got to find a different name. You, child, I am not going to stand here and count to three. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Sloughing off your responsibility to discipline has dreadful consequences, and not just in the way that everyone is going to talk about you. We're talking hearts here. We're talking souls here. How you discipline or don't discipline according to the word is clearly seen at church, in Sunday school, and in catechism classes, at the schools your kids attend, and later will be shown in the churches and work environments that they may or may not be a part of. It's going to be plain. And so I want to encourage you, it's hard. I'm still in the throes of it too. And I'm certainly not getting in line to write the next parenting book. But we need to be urged by this word to give ourselves to the incredibly important task of disciplining our children to listen and obey unquestioningly. Correct their behavior when it's broken. Redirect them when they stray from the truth of the word in the role that he's given you. Show them where their actions ultimately lead, but more, point them again and again and again to your need and their need for Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Because that's often what is missing in our discipline, which speaks to the fact that we want outward compliance rather than true obedience. Discipline them as you bring them before God's standard, but also his way of salvation, his way of peace and blessing. So discipline them to be obedient to you, knowing that you love them. Discipline them to be subject to authorities. Paul writes in Romans 13, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Discipline your children to obey the authority given to elders. Hebrews 13, 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be no advantage to you. And so to do that, we have to second then bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. It was the sure intent of Deuteronomy 6, 48. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently. That word consistently fits that space there. Diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hands, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And so parents, instruct your children. We let the Christian school do that. Instruct your children. The cadet counselors and the GEM counselors and the catechism teacher, instruct your children. Have devotions with them. Teach them by way of your words and actions what it means to live that out. Teach them about creation, about the fall, about redemption in Christ and the coming again of Jesus in the future consummation of all his promises. Teach them a life of relationship to your Savior and live that with them. Instruct them about what a daily walk is all about. Teach them what a life of repentance and faith really means. Teach them to love the Lord and the church and his people. Teach them a love and a heart for service, for fellowship, and a desire to see God's name exalted in every area of life. Teach them how to share the gospel. Rejoice together with them that gospel spreads and that hearts and lives are changed by Jesus Christ. Be in his word together. Speak that word into them. Live that example before them. Grow in the same grace you teach them and call them to grow in. Celebrate the wonder of Christ's goodness. Teach them how we engage in the conversation of worship and of how we live before the face of God to the glory of his name. And that's just scratching the surface. There's more. There's so much more. And so if you're like, Pastor, already in that first one, I'm falling short. Me too. So instead of just settling for that, let's hold each other accountable to more. That our children need that. That Christ commands it of us. If you're falling short of that standard of bringing discipline and instruction before your children, know that every parent sitting here, if they are being honest, finds themselves in the exact same place. So let's be about the standard that Christ provides us in the grace that he provides. Start now. I haven't been doing it. Start now. Start now. Pray for your kids. Teach your children. Correct them. Train them. Discipline them. In dependence upon your Savior, cry out, Lord, give me what I need for that task and equip me for it by way of your word and spirit. We don't have because we don't ask. And I want to leave you then with this challenge from G.I. Williamson. Quote, here it is. Young fathers and mothers, if you want to build up the church, start at home. End quote. If you want children who honor you and respect you, as far as that may depend upon you, love them enough to discipline them and instruct them. Yeah, but that's hard. It says in Hebrews 12:11, for the moment, discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. And children, believe this, your parents don't like discipline more than you do. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And that's true for children and for parents alike. So let's be about this kind of witness of honor as children and to parents who honor the Lord in loving Christ as we seek together to obey and honor him in all things to the glory of his name. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the truth of your word and to the call that it lays upon us. It's a difficult one. Father, it's a humbling one. It's one that gets us excited to go out into that task and yet totally freaks us out, and we recognize how short we fall. And yet, Father, in the same way you're seeking to work in our children, you're doing the same in us. When we see the way that they need to be disciplined, we know we need to too. In the ways that we need to call them to honor, we need to too. Father, we confess to you the ways that we've spoken in the past, perhaps even in front of our children, about the work of elders or deacons or the pastor. In the way that we've said unkind things, and yet we expect a different standard from our kids. Father, help our hypocrisy and our unbelief. Father, in the ways in which we have not lived this example of submission to you, of obedience to you, Father, forgive us our sins. But Father, lead us forth from this place, recognizing your calling upon us. That to each child and young person in this congregation, Father, I pray, may that testimony of stubborn obstinance and disobedience, Father, may it not be that witness. May none of them be known as that kid. For Father, what that speaks to so often is the fact that we have not held before them the standard of your word and insisted upon it consistently. And so, Father, we ask, in the grace that you provide, help us to repent before our children of the ways that we've fallen short. Help us to lead them to your word, to yourself, to your Son, in the power of your Holy Spirit, in that commitment to start anew, to walk that walk, to insist on that walk, to be thankful for it. And Father, in the ways that we need to be supported and encouraged that, may we find that here. May we find that in the way that we seek to co-parent all of the covenant children of this congregation. And so, Lord, we pray, would you continue to work that kind of honor in our children and in our parents? And so, Father, we ask that you would bless us as we give ourselves to that. We pray that you would bless the giving of our offerings tonight. We thank you, Father, for the ways that we could give to this church and to the Cadet Corps this morning. Tonight, Father, we thank you that we can give in a small way to continue to maintain the facilities you've blessed us with. And so, Father, we pray that we would be cheerful in our giving and that you would continue to provide all our needs. Lord, hear our prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, the deacons will come forward to close.